stpete.com presents Job Talk with Dean Logan, live from our studios inside Big C in downtown St. Petersburg. Visit BigC.com to learn why top businesses turn to our experts to take their brands to the next level. BigC.com. And by Advanced Recruiting Academy. If you are underemployed, a college student, or looking for a career change, visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com to learn about the art of recruiting. In 90 days, the master recruiters at Advanced Recruiting Academy will teach you the skills you need to begin a rewarding career in the recruiting industry. They do this for free, and students can earn commissions during their training. Visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com, where they develop recruiters and deliver talent. Now, let's go live to Big C for Job Talk with Dean Logan.
Thank you, Joe Bordeaux, and welcome everyone to Job Talk, the only radio program in Tampa Bay dedicated to talking about jobs. I'm your host, Dean Logan, and we are broadcasting today from the Big C offices located in downtown St. Petersburg. I want to take this time to thank our sponsors, Big C and Advanced Recruiting Academy, for their support, as well as everyone working behind the scenes, especially Thomas, for all of their help. And for those of you tuning into Job Talk for the first time, you'll learn that it's my goal to talk with the leaders of every employer I can in Tampa Bay, big and small, and in every possible industry, so that anyone considering moving their business or making a change in their employment will know what it's like to live, work, and play in Tampa Bay. All of my guests are making a positive difference in the community, and listening to Job Talk is a way to get to know them just a little bit better. Plus, it's been a lot of fun for me to talk to some great guests, and I made some new friends in the process. So before I introduce my guest, I want to mention that if you want to view the website associated with today's program while listening, you can visit challenge-island.com/St. Pete. That's challenge.island.com/ST-PETE. And you can also follow us live as we can be seen on Periscope. You can view the stream by going to twitter.com/recruitacad and click on the live stream link. You can also add us on Periscope using the handle @ARAcademy. So it's a pleasure to welcome a new guest to the show, Leah Rise, the franchise owner of Challenge Island, located here in St. Pete. Welcome to Job Talk, Leah.
Thanks, Dean. I appreciate it.
So I really want to thank you for being here. And as always, I'd like to start the interview by letting the listeners to get to know my guests on a personal level. So Leah, tell everyone about yourself, beginning with where you're from.
Ah, that's always a tough question for me. I'm an Army brat, so I have lived all over. I was born in Arkansas, but was only there for about 6 months. I was Blytheville Air Force Base, north central part of Arkansas, but we moved when I was about 6 months. So from there, I've lived everywhere, from Virginia to Florida to Iowa and Alaska.
Wow. Yeah, tell me about Florida. You know, obviously, you were in southern Florida?
No, actually, my parents were in Panama City Beach, Tyndall Air Force Base. My mom was actually in the Air Force, and my dad was in the Army. So my mom got out of the Air Force when I was about 18 months, and then we followed my dad. And I think our first station after that was Alaska and Fort Richardson.
Alaska. So what was it like there?
I mean, I was the perfect age. I was age 4 to 8. So in my world, it was amazing, you know, snowing and, you know, and sledding. And I remember ice skating in our backyard because it was completely frozen over. Endless summer nights. I mean, it's, you know, it doesn't get dark till about 11 p.m. in the summer and gets daylight about 2 a.m. My mom has a different memory. she remembers the, you know, 10 months of darkness. But as a kid, it was magical.
That's great. And what part of Alaska again?
It was Fort Richardson, so just outside of Anchorage.
Okay. And then from there, where did you go?
From there, I think it was Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C.
Okay. How long were you there?
A long time, a couple of years, 7-8 years. A long time in my book, I guess. Yeah. And then we moved to Iowa. My dad got out of the Army, and that's where his family is from. So we were there, and I finished high school and graduated from Iowa City.
Okay, great. So good Midwest background as well.
Heck, yes.
You've been the entire...
I know. I've hit the whole country. Yeah.
That's wonderful. And then so, you know, then you also went to Australia.
I did. So, you know, I guess traveling around my whole life as a child, I loved it. And I took a gap year after high school, and I backpacked Europe alone.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me about it. Where was your stop? Where was your favorite stop then?
My favorite stop, the first time I was in Europe, was probably this little town in Germany called St. Goar. So it was just gorgeous, a little winery town, and it was amazing. And that's where I met a bunch of Australians and ended up sticking with them for the remainder of the time. I was doing a Kentucky tour. So if anyone has ever done that in your early 20s, you'll know what I'm talking about. So I actually ended up moving to Australia after that.
Okay. And what did you do there?
I was on a working holiday visa the first time I lived in Australia. So I was working at the Disney store in the mall. wrangling kangaroos or anything.
Okay. And how long were you in Australia?
That first time I was there for just shy of a year.
Okay.
So.
And then you came.
And then I came back to America because my gap year was over. It was time to go to school. So I went to Florida State. My parents were still in Iowa at the time, but it's cold there. Right. So my grandparents lived in Panama City Beach. And so I went to Florida State because they're prettier colors than gators. That's the true story. I was accepted to both. I would like everyone to know. But no, I did. I chose Florida State and I loved it. It was an incredible, magical time. And I still love Tallahassee.
And so what did you study while you were there?
Spanish. Yeah. So the first year I was there, it was actually education. I was going to be a math teacher, which kind of circles back to where I'm at with Challenge Island now. But I did ultimately end up with a Spanish degree.
Great. And then so after college, what did you do?
As mentioned, I don't really have any roots as far as from one specific place. And I had a bunch of friends that were from the Tampa Bay area and specifically St. Pete. It sounded great. So I thought I'd move down here for a couple of years, and that was about 12 years ago.
Yeah, great. Boy, a lot of changes in 12 years since you've been here.
Yes, right? Yes, but it's the best city in the world. I love it. And I've lived in Sydney for 3 years, so.
Wow. So what did you do, once you first got out of school and you came down here, did you have a job? Or?
I mean, I waited tables, I think, is the story of a lot of first college grads. I was actually at Bar-Louie in Tampa. I got a dog, and that's probably what launched my career. I met an owner of a digital advertising company at a dog park, and she took me on as an intern. She also went to Florida State. And so I worked for her for nearly 5 years. And on a whim, I applied for a job in Sydney again. I wanted to go back. It was also an SEO company. And that's what brought me back to Sydney. And I was there for just shy of 4 years.
Great. And then how long has it been? So then you came back here?
That was 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so tell me, how did you happen to hear about the franchise you're in now?
So when I was leaving Sydney, I knew that I wanted to come back to the States, and I kind of wanted to get out of the SEO industry. As mentioned, initially, my degree was meant to be in education, and I kind of got away from it. So I wanted to find a franchise. I wanted it to be about education. And in searching, I started learning about STEM. I guess I'd been out of school too long. I hadn't actually heard of it. We didn't have that when I was growing up.
STEM meaning?
Science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Mm-hmm. And I found Challenge Island. It just kept popping up, as an up and coming franchise to buy. And they identify more as a 21st century skills, cross curricular, and STEAM, which includes the arts. So science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics.
That's great. My guest today is Leah Rise, the franchise owner of Challenge Island, located here in St. Pete. So Leah, let's talk about Challenge Island. Tell me about the history.
Yeah. So Challenge Island was founded by Sharon Estroff in Marietta, Georgia. She was a school teacher for nearly 20 years, and she wanted to find a way to get girls excited about science. That's how this started about 12 years ago, I think, if memory serves. I think Sharon's listening, so I think that's right. and she wanted to find a way to get the kids away from the screens, nothing to do with robotics, and get girls excited about it. That was her focus. So she came up with Challenge Island.
And when did she start franchising it?
5 or 6 years ago. Okay. So it's still somewhat new.
That's great. You mentioned Challenge Island, but there had to be other programs too, mm-hmm. right, that you were looking at that would educate the kids and give them some different types of experiences. So overall, what was the main thing that made you choose Challenge Island?
If I had to pick one, it would probably be Sharon herself.
Yeah.
She's wonderful. She still writes most of the lesson plans herself. She had directed me towards Robin and Leslie, who own a store in or own a franchise in Louisiana. And they just had endless time for me. They told me all about it, anything that I needed. I got all the information. She just seemed so real. The others that I spoke to felt more like a business transaction. And with Sharon and specifically with Challenge Island, it felt like a family. It felt like I'd have that support. She wasn't just trying to, okay, here, write this check. And then the program itself, I mean, I'm biased now, I suppose, but I mean, even after the first time I spoke to Sharon, I got off the phone, I called my dad, and I was like, this is it. Yeah. Yeah, so.
Hey, you know, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. And so do you serve all of Tampa Bay? And are you the only franchisee in Florida?
I am the first and only in Florida right now, so obviously the only one in Tampa Bay. At the moment, yes, I can serve Tampa Bay as a whole, but I'm basically just focusing on Pinellas County because I've only been open 8 months. There's a lot of schools in Pinellas County,
right?
So they keep me very busy, but I do a lot with the Girl Scouts, and that's Tampa Bay-wide. So
nice. And do you have plans for expanding out more into Tampa Bay, though, too, with time?
Yes, absolutely. By the end of this year, once Pinellas County is good, I'm going to move more into Hillsborough next.
Okay. So tell me, how long are the classes typically?
Yeah, so the heart and soul of it is it's an after-school program. So that's 1 hour a week, and each program lasts about 8 weeks.
Okay. And is there a minimum commitment of classes?
Yes. Yes, when you do the islands, they are. It's an eight-week program. Each class stems from the other one.
Okay. And is there a cost involved?
Yes, it's $96 for the per kid for the whole 8 weeks. Okay. So it breaks down to about $12 a class.
Are there different costs for different programs, or is that a general kind of?
There are. Typical is about $12 a kid per hour. However, I always work with the schools when we do field trips, and there's going to be large groups of kids at once. So,
So do the parents pay you, or do the schools pay you?
Both, and it depends. With after school, that's the parents.
Okay, and what would the school get involved in paying you for?
The field trips. So, okay. Yeah.
So we'll talk about those too. And how do the school teachers, you know, view your program? I mean, it's a little bit different than the way that they're teaching. You know, mm-hmm. are there any conflicts, or is it,
The teachers are having a blast. That's the biggest feedback that I've heard, is that they're having so much fun. Like for right now, for my camps, all the teachers who teach for Challenge Island are actual school teachers here in Pinellas County. Mm-hmm. I've got a first grade teacher, two fifth grade teachers, and a second grade teacher right now. And one that kind of floats. But one of the biggest things they've said is it's neat to see the kids get excited and get involved and hands-on and, you know, something that doesn't involve a computer screen.
Great. And so you mentioned STEAM. So what does STEAM stand for, and how does it differ from STEM education?
Yeah, so I think the biggest difference with STEAM, I mean, literally it involves the arts. We add the A. And I think that's what it is. It brings in, our logo is, you know, when engineering meets imagination. So it's not just straight science and technology and mathematics. It actually brings in, you know, the art portion of it, you know, architects and things like that, you know, and brings out the creative mind and the imagination. And I think that's something that's lacking a lot with children these days.
You know, you mentioned 21st century learning. Mm-hmm. What is that exactly?
So it's the idea of teaching the kids to problem solve, skills that they can actually bring with them once they graduate, once they get out of high school and get into the real world. They learn to work together as a team. Not everybody's a winner. I think that's one of the biggest things that Challenge Island differs. Actually, we just had a student yesterday at our camp at LCC Day School. We explained, you know, what they were working towards all week long, and that the winner would be announced on Friday. And one girl raised her hand and goes, "What happens to everyone who doesn't win? And you lose." you know, but it's, I think it's interesting. It's real. It's reality. And they're problem solving in a way that I don't think they're expected to. In other parts of society today.
So can you give me some examples of cross-curricular challenges?
Yeah. So all of our challenges are cross-curricular. Some of our earlier islands, like Shark Tooth, are very straight STEM. But when we get into, like, World Tour, which is brand new, it's launching this fall, it involves all of it. So the engineering part, they're building the Sydney Harbour Bridge. The arts part of it, you know, they're creating their flags, they're naming it, they're making one bridge different from another. Mm-hmm. So when teachers often ask me, especially when the school is paying for the field trips, what standards are you hitting? You know, because there's standards if they're going to pay for a field trip, they have to hit, especially if it's Title I funding. The answer is all of them. That we make sure to click every single one of them that they have to hit.
What would they be?
The standards?
Yeah.
Oh, that's like a two-page huge list. Yeah. So usually it involves, you know, we have to teach them about, you know, right now we're on a rainforest theme and we have to make sure that they are learning a certain level of vocabulary and this. And, you know, there's first grade standards, there's second grade standards, there's third grade standards. And
okay, great. And you have islands there, right?
Yes.
Tell me about an island. Like, what's the Time Machine Island?
Yeah. So the whole premise of Challenge Island is, are you smarter than a fifth grader meets survivor? So we separate the kids out into tribes, you know, groups, teams of about 4 to 6 kids. And each island is what we'd be running for the after-school program. So with Time Machine Island, so it's 8 weeks of class. There's 8 different challenges. The first one would be, I think it's Gold Rush. So they're building a Gold Rush cart. And so that's the engineering portion of it. But the learning part, the history part is that we also build the Eiffel Tower. So things like that.
And different things throughout time?
Different things throughout time. So we'll say, okay, we're going back to, you know, here's the country, here's the year, here's what we're learning, here's what the world was like at that time, and go from there.
And what is Island Spirit?
So we always make sure that we transfer the room, whatever room we're in, into the Island Spirit. So the kids wear headgear. So they're like bandanas. They wrap them around and it whatever color they are. So if they're green tribe, red tribe, purple tribe. And then they also wear face paint. So they become a tribe. They become a group and a society amongst themselves. And then we have drums, and it's the whole idea of being involved in where we're at the moment.
And you have treasure chests?
We do.
What's in a treasure chest?
Yeah, so depending on the island, it might be different, but the main things that come in all the treasure chests are their bandanas, their face paint, their markers, and then usually there's something specific to whatever island we're working on.
That's interesting. My guest today is Leah Rise, the franchise owner of Challenge Island. So, Leah, let's take a look at how Challenge Island actually brings STEAM to kids. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the science that you're teaching. Can you give me some examples of how you incorporate chemistry and physical sciences and all the rest of the sciences into your programs?
Yeah. Some are more obvious than others. We've got an entire island called Volcano Island. So in that one, we're making volcanoes erupt and doing lava lamps for creating lava and things
really?
Like that. I just did that for 50 kids in Grace Lutheran the other day, and that was interesting. So some of it's very, very obvious like that. Other times, Rainforest Island, you know, we're learning all about the rainforest and prehensile tales, you know, the monkey's tails and how it's evolved through time, and so things like that.
Okay. And with regard to technology, you know, can you tell me a typical problem that students would use, you know, their creativity to solve?
I think one of the biggest things that our kids always have to build is, especially for camps, is a fort, or right now they're superhero layers. So we give them PVC pipes and a bit of a design of what they're building, and they have to build it themselves. So problem solving, teamwork, things like that.
Okay. And you mentioned technology, though, but they're not using computers, right?
No. Yes. Completely unplugged.
Yeah.
So the idea is to, problem solve amongst yourselves. There's no calculators. There's no, they're having to do it all themselves. When they have to work math problems, it's pen and paper. Here you go.
Yeah. How do they respond to that in today's world? Is it difficult for them?
You know, sometimes. Like I said, I've got actual teachers that are helping, and that helps me. Because sometimes I just want to say, oh, well, here it is. But, you know, my teachers are very good at, you've learned about this. So how do you do this? Okay, well, let's see. Well, first, you do mathematics, you do multiplication, and then, so they kind of walk them through it. And it's neat to see they do know. They are listening and they are learning. And now they're having to apply it.
Great. So the E is for engineering in STEAM. So what kind of challenges do you have for that?
Yeah. So probably one of the most fun ones is called monkey swings. So the kids are building monkey swings, or a playground for monkeys. So they're building slides and swings, a swing set. And honestly, they come up with it. We give them the supplies, the PVC pipes, they get, popsicle sticks and all of this, sentence strips, and it's okay, go. So they work together to actually create and build an entire playground.
And so the art portion of it, is a little bit different. You actually incorporate music into it.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Whether it's an after-school program, an in-school field trip, and especially camps, we have music going at all times.
Is it themed at all?
It's always themed. It's always themed. So whatever, for superheroes, we've got all the soundtracks to whatever the, I think today is Captain America Day. So we'll have all Captain America stuff playing in the background. And it's age appropriate. So, when we do the little kids, it's usually Disney of some sort, but it'll be irrelevant. If we're doing Rainforest Island for the littles, we'll probably have, Lion King stuff on and stuff like that. We're not going to have Little Mermaid on.
So tell me some of the challenges with regard to art, though.
So all of them involve art. For the camps, for example, they have to build a flag. They have to decide what their tribe's name is going to be. They have to come up with a symbol, and they have to design a flag. And it actually hangs from their camps, their clubhouse, the entirety of the camp. And I think that going back to the monkey swings, they're having to build and design and figure out how's the swing set going to look, and there's always art. They're always having to color and design and things like that.
And do you find that the art portion really makes a difference to the kids?
I think it does. It's fun. It brings out their imagination. For the superhero camp, in the forefront of my mind because we're doing it right now. We gave the kids shields and we said, okay, you need to tell us what's your superpower, what's your super name. And they had to create their shield and write what their name was. And there was this one little girl, her superpower was to make the world colorful. And so she had her superhero name was Color Girl, and she had to design what her logo was. So we show them this is what Batman's looks like, this is what Captain America's looks like, and so now you design your own logo.
That's great. So in with regard to math, I imagine math isn't in every challenge as well. So tell me something. What do they learn in math? I understand estimating, but what else do they learn?
Do you want a specific example?
Sure.
Okay. So we do this bungee challenge where they have to create a bungee ride for their for Minion Camp. They built a Minion and then they had to build a bungee jump for them, but in doing so they had to have the cords had to be a certain length, and the challenge was that it has to be at least 5 inches off the floor when it drops, and it has to, when it comes back up, it has to go higher than a foot. So they're having to measure, okay, this is where this goes, and when the bungee actually drops, they have to hit those criteria. It has to be in between the 5 inches and the foot, or they didn't complete the challenge.
Very interesting. Okay. Well, my guest today is Leah Rise, the franchise owner of Challenge Island. So let's talk about the programs and experiences the children will actually go through while attending. We've discussed your school enrichment programs, but you provide a variety of settings for this, right? So tell us about what students and parents can expect with an in-school field trip, and what is an in-school field trip?
So in-school field trips, those have made a big hit with schools in the area. The schools don't have to pay for the bus. They don't have to worry about the waivers because the kids aren't leaving school property. So I come to the schools, and depending on the number of kids, I've had over 200 in one room before. We'll do the cafeteria, or we'll do a classroom. And we transform it into Challenge Island. So that's why we put the music on. That's why they have the tribal gear. So the idea is that we're transforming them, even if we're still technically in the classroom, we're transforming the classroom. Mm-hmm. And that's the field trips.
Will they be learning at the same thing, or will there be different parts of the class learning different things or different challenges, or how does that work?
So it depends on the ages and the age range, but almost always it's the same challenge, but it's moderated based on how old the child is. So we did a golf course at St. Paul's right at the end of the school year. So they built a golf course. There was 96 kids in the cafeteria, and we had third through fifth grade, so they were all the older ones, but we increased the challenge for the fourth and fifth graders. And so, we would say instead of, three holes, you have to have five. And instead of one jump, there has to be two or something like that, And the way that the ball drops at the end, we give different instructions to increase the difficulty level for the older kids. So everybody was doing the same challenge, but we do give different instructions based on age.
Great. And you also do summer camps.
Yes.
So, what's done there? And are they outside?
No. So in the summer camps, you're in the schools or in the rec centers. And this summer, I've been at schools in the area and the rec centers primarily. And with those, we usually pick modern themes that are going on right now, Minions and Harry Potter and, you know, superheroes, things like that. American Girls and Dolls Camp just ended. It's still a STEM camp, still STEAM camp. It's a little bit less hardcore. We don't have standards we have to tick, so we're not having to make sure that they're learning a vocabulary and things like that. But the kids are still doing STEM, and they don't even know it.
And they're having fun. Uh-huh. Yeah, so what is the wizardry? Tell me about that program.
That was so fun. We actually ran two of those this summer. It's a Harry Potter themed. So that was neat because there was a lot of the sciences that you were asking about before. You know, they made magical dough, and they learned how to levitate and you know, using those skills and things like that. So it was really neat. And of course, we still had them, you know, capes and glasses. So they were Harry Potter, and they built wands and things of that sort. We did exploding dragon toothpaste. That was fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what's an icy party?
Oh, that's for from the Minions. Okay. Yes. So that's Despicable Me 3 came out this summer, so we wanted to make sure we had Minion themed. And man, the kids just absolutely love it. That is one of their favorites. I have toddlers, so my kids aren't into it yet, but it's pretty big.
And you do Space Wars too?
Yes.
That must be fun.
I'm just glad that that's still around. I, yeah. You know, that's something my childhood and I can relate to, but the kids still love it.
Yeah, great. Now, you also have something called Challenge Island Junior. Mm-hmm. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so that's, you know, it's a great little program. We go into preschools, a lot of VPK programs at the current elementary schools. And we, you know, we get to introduce these littles to STEAM at a very young age, and they need help. And we definitely moderate the challenges so that it's something that they can do. And we need more hands, so we always need the teachers to help us and help them out. And but it's really neat to see them catch on and to see them get involved. And the idea is that they'll know Challenge Island from a very young age, and they'll just, you know, keep going and they'll understand how it works.
Right. And what would they learn? You know, at that age, what are they trying to come out away from?
I think the problem solving is a big thing for the littles, because their go to when they're 4 and 5 is, this doesn't work, can you do it for me? But we're starting the, well, what do you think? What, you know, why isn't it working? You know, we built the Sydney Harbor Bridge yesterday at Grace Lutheran, and I mean, a lot of the kids in the room were 5. I think over 20 were 5. You know, mm-hmm. They were rising kindergartners, so preschoolers essentially. And it was neat to, you know, they were trying to get the toothpicks and the gumdrops into the shapes of triangles. And, you know, and you'd see a square and you'd say, okay, Ellie, like, what shape is that? Oh, it's a square. What shape are we building? Triangles. So how can we make that a triangle? And to watch her, oh, okay, well, if I remove this and I connect these, and they figure it out. And it's neat to, you know, because this is probably my 7th class with this particular group. So the first day, if I'd have asked Ellie that, I don't think it would have. I don't know. You know, but this is, we've been there all summer every Tuesday. So to watch her figure it out by the end, it was neat.
Nice. Now, do you also offer classes for homeschool children?
Yes. That's going to be huge this fall. I'm actually working with April Carr, who does Chosen for Calvary Church, and we're actually going to be there every Friday. It's going to be a pretty large class.
Where is that?
Calvary Chapel Church on Highway 19.
What city?
Pinellas Park, technically, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, just in case, can people show
to,
up?
I'm trying to that's probably a question for April. I do think you have to be part of the organization, the homeschool organization. If anyone does homeschool that's listening, I'm sure you know what Chosen is and who April Carr is, because she's on the board. So.
Perfect. Now, you mentioned you do some work with Girl Scouts.
Yes.
And so what do you do with them?
So we actually have a national partnership with the Girl Scouts. And as mentioned, when Challenge Island kicked off, Sharon's biggest thing was to hit the girls and to get them excited. So she focused on the Girl Scouts about 10 years ago. So now we actually have an entire Challenge Island patch. So they'll call us and they have, you know, things that they have to do to earn their patch. And it'll be a challenge and it'll need to involve, you know, STEM of some sort. And, you know, if they've got a theme going on, we'll, you know, oh, I've got the perfect thing, you know, so we'll bring that over. You know, they're doing something with, you know, adventure parks. So we'll have them do the roller coasters. And then that way the girls can earn their badges.
And how about working with the boys, do you any plans to work with the Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts?
I would love to. I don't actually have a connection yet, but I would. Yeah, that is absolutely something I'd love to do.
Yeah. Okay. And you also talk about family fun nights. Mm-hmm. What's that?
So that's when the entire family gets involved. So we're not dropping the kids off. It's when the whole family is a tribe of their own. So whether there's four or five, six in a family, they come and we give them the challenge and they get to do it themselves. And I think that's something very unique these days. It's because it's usually, oh, drop the kids off or something of that sort. And this is, you know, hey, mom and dad, you know, stick around. Let's do this together. Let's work together. Brothers and sisters that are wide age range that aren't used to working together. It's fun. We do it at churches, and some schools have us set up for this fall as well, you know, because they've got family nights and stuff like that.
And is that different from the kids' night out?
Yes, kids' nights out, and when you can ditch the kids. And,
yeah. yeah. Parents for the parents, I think.
Yes, huh? Yeah. We actually did one at Green Bench Brewery back in March, and I had set up out there on the lawn, and the parents were right there, and they could drink and socialize and enjoy, and I entertained the kids.
Great. And how long are those classes?
2 hours, usually, sometimes an hour, but not more than two.
Great. And the last one I want to talk about is the Challenge Island Senior.
Oh,
is
yes.
That, is that something that you're going to be starting up soon?
Yes. I think it's amazing. They're doing it a lot out in California right now, and it's just been a huge hit. It's something so unique and so different. And, you know, if you're in a nursing home and something like that, then it's fresh and it's different, and it causes you to use skills that maybe you're not using. Your brain and your mind and your fine motor skills and things like that and they laugh and they have such a good time. So that's something that I haven't had a chance to start up here in St. Pete. I've only been around 8 months, but it will absolutely be here.
Great. And my guest today is Leah Rise, the franchise owner of Challenge Island, located here in St. Petersburg, Florida. So, Leah, let's talk about jobs. Are there any jobs available right now with your group?
Yes. So they're all part-time, very part-time. But for the after-school enrichment side of it, I'm in about 15 schools as of right now. That might grow. And it's 1 hour after school every week. So preferably it would be teachers that already are at that school and they can stay. My teachers that are here this summer, two can carry on, but the others are busy with other commitments. So yes, I need lots of teachers.
And what kind of qualifications are you looking for?
You do have to be an actual teacher. So it's fine if you're retired. It's fine if you took some time off because maybe you're a mom or maybe you just wanted a break. But that is one of the big things that we're sticking with here in Challenge Island is we do require actual teachers.
Okay. And you said part-time. 1 hour a week, is that what you're looking
for?
Well,
if they teach a few, it can be anywhere from, let's say you already teach at, North Shore and you want to just stay afterwards, it might just be 1 hour a week. But if you think you can hit a couple of the schools and make it, it could be anywhere from 3 to 10 hours a week.
Great. And do you ever hire any interns?
Not at the moment. We're still pretty fresh, but that is most definitely something I want to do. Specifically, people in college wanting to in the educational major. So, that want to be elementary school teachers. That's what I would love to have intern.
So I always like to get my guest's opinion about the talent pool throughout the Tampa Bay area. So when you've had to hire people, have you been able to find the talent you're looking for?
I got very lucky. So far, yes. I met Kim Lopez, who was a school teacher here for 35 years. Her daughter is a school teacher at North Shore, and her husband's a fifth grade teacher at North Shore, and her assistant teacher from last year was amazing, and she works for me too. So at the moment, it's yes, but that's probably all thanks to Kim. And moving forward for the after school, I'm trying to actually figure out how to reach the teachers so that they know that this is an opportunity.
Great. But of the teachers that you've talked to, pretty good quality?
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yes. And public schools, magnet schools, private schools. Yes, absolutely.
And that brings us to the interview tip of the week. So, Leah, if somebody wants to apply for a position at Challenge Island, what one piece of advice would you give them?
To know why it is that you want to do this and to be a teacher and to, know why it is that you want to work for me and what for Challenge Island and be able to articulate that and explain it rather than, I just need a job.
Yeah. Okay. That's good advice. And are there any events coming up?
All my after-school programs kick off late August, so I should be at most of the parents meet your teacher nights and things of that sort. But all of those will kick off the end of August and the beginning of September. So there's quite a bit going on.
Great, you've lived a lot of places, and so if anyone is interested in moving their family or businesses, to this area. You know, what would you recommend St. Pete and Tampa Bay in general, and if so, why?
Easy call. You know, when I lived in Sydney, I always said I'm going back to St. Pete. I love Sydney. It's the best city in the world after St. Pete. But what I love about St. Pete is that we have everybody here. You know, you can a little bit of country, a little bit of hippie, a little bit of rock and roll. You know, it sounds cliche, but you really do have people from all walks of life here. Inclusion and diversity is huge, but we really have it. And, and that includes, you know, the good old boys too. And I mean, it's everybody. I think that it's a big little city. You know, we've got everything that you'd want. We're not lacking for anything, but it's also not overwhelming.
And there's been a lot of changes, I'm sure, that you've seen since you've been here.
There's been a lot of. I left in 2012 to go to Sydney, and when I got back in 2015, there was a huge difference. So, it's growing and it's amazing.
Great. Now, at this time, I like to give my guests an opportunity to give any shout outs that they want. Do you have anyone you want to give a shout out to?
I think I've already called out most people, but Sharon Estroff, of course, you know, thank you for starting Challenge Island. Kim Lopez, for introducing me to everybody who's my teacher, you know, Emily and Casey and Trish and Robin Dudley Crawford as well. Thank you for everybody who survived this summer with me. It's been crazy. We hit over 1,000 kids this summer, so it's been wild.
That's great. You know, if everyone would like to learn more about Challenge Island and you specifically, how can they do that?
Facebook is a great avenue there. So you can give me a call too, 727-599-6677. Otherwise, if you go to the website, challenge-island.com, and migrate to St. Pete, you can find me there. But I'd love to talk.
That's great. Well, Leah, I really want to thank you for being here today. I learned a lot about this, and it sounds like a wonderful program. So thank you very much for coming, and I look forward to the next time you're a guest here on Job Talk.
Wonderful. Thank you.
My guest today has been Leah Rise, the franchise owner of Challenge Island, located right here in St. Petersburg, Florida. And so now it's time for my Job Talk alumni update. And our friends at the St. Petersburg Area Chamber of Commerce remind us that voting for the 2017 Good Burger Awards has officially opened. The nominees were recognized by the community as individuals, businesses, and organizations making a positive impact in our community. The winners will be announced at the Good Burger Awards on August 31st at the State Theater in St. Pete. I'm happy to announce that Big C is one of the nominees, so congratulations and good luck to Joe, Cat, and Zooey, and Andy, and everyone at the Big C on the nomination. Jackie Hinckley from Voices of Hope for Aphasia wants you to mark your calendars for the following events. Friday and Saturday, August 18th and 19th, they're going to have a family workshop in Gainesville. And on Saturday, September 23rd, is their annual benefit, Aphasia Got Talent. And I'm very lucky to be one of the judges at that event. So it should be a lot of fun. So for more information about these events and the important work they're doing, please visit their website at vohaphasia.org. And now it's time for my shout-outs today. My shout this week goes to Diane in Michigan, who had a milestone birthday last week. Happy birthday, Diane. I hope you had a lot of fun. And birthday wishes also go out to Mike Sutton, the CEO of Habitat for Humanity, of Pinellas County, and also a Job Talk alumni. His birthday is today, and we hope he has a fantastic day. Happy birthday, Mike. And I want to wish all of you an opportunity to take time to come out and listen to Radio St. Pete. Check out the website, explore all the music and shows that are featured. If you can't listen live, check out the archive section where you can listen at your convenience. There's something for everyone, and there are new shows in production all the time. You can always listen to past Job Talk shows, and you'll find some interesting and fun podcasts there too. So you can download the free app and listen anywhere you take your phone, tablet, or computer. That's RadioSt.Pete.com. Also, if you're listening to the program, please tell your friends and let me know if you have any suggestions for future guests. We're always looking for talent and contributors to the station. You can send those suggestions to me at DeanLogan@RadioSt.Pete.com. You can also send me a tweet or follow me on Twitter at Job Talk Host. I want to give special thanks to Joe Bordeaux, Zooey, Cat, Joe, Andy, and the entire Big C team. I truly appreciate all of your support. And as always, I want to end Job Talk with this final thought and say to everyone listening, if you're thinking about relocating your family or business and are looking for a great place to live, work, and play, you should come visit and take a look at all St. Pete and Tampa Bay has to offer. I'm glad I did, and I think you'll be glad you did too. So thanks for listening, and until next time when we talk about jobs on Job Talk, this is Dean Logan. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Job Talk with Dean Logan, a presentation of RadioSt.Pete.com and broadcast live today from Big C in downtown St. Petersburg. Visit BigC.com to learn why top businesses turn to our experts to take their brands to the next level. That's BigC.com. And by Advanced Recruiting Academy. If you are underemployed, a college student, or looking for a career change, visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com to learn about the art of recruiting. In 90 days, the master recruiters at Advanced Recruiting Academy will teach you the skills you need to begin a rewarding career in the recruiting industry. They do this for free, and students can earn commissions during their training. Visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com, where they develop recruiters and deliver talent. Listen again next week at this same time for Job Talk with Dean Logan, live from Big C in downtown St. Petersburg.